The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
And let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs tonight. And tonight we're going to study God's Word, Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to look at the uprooted life of a fool. And in the book of Proverbs, there are several different kinds of men introduced in chapter 1. There's the wise man. There's the foolish man, there's the simple man, and there's the scornful man. All right? Wise, foolish, simple, scornful. Let's say that together. Wise, foolish, simple. One more time. Wise, foolish, simple. All right? And all of us can play the part of wise, foolish, simple, or scornful. And I've pastored all four kinds. In fact, many of our members inspired this sermon tonight on the fool. No, not really, but the fact of the matter is all of us can be one of those kinds of people. But the Bible commands us to walk in wisdom, and if we lack wisdom, to ask of God. Sometimes the way to get wisdom is to study the part of the fool so we don't play that part out in our lives. And so that's what we're going to do tonight as we study. So let's stand together. Proverbs 26, beginning in verse number 1. Proverbs 26, verses 1 through 9, and I've entitled the Bible study, The Uprooted Life of a Fool. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up in the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. How many of you get the idea? You don't want to be a fool. And so we want to learn tonight about this matter of living with God's wisdom. And let's just pray. We'll hear one song and get right to our Bible study. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you that it guides us into the paths of wisdom. I pray that you would help us to be wiser Christians because we're here with you tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us are given much in this life. We're given the gifts of influence, we're given the gifts of instruction, the gifts of trust, the gifts of opportunity. Someone said that every one of us are given by God the gift of potential. Potential is God's gift to you, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. And so God gives you potential, and He wants you to use whatever resources He gives to you for His honor and for His glory. And how many of you would agree with me that life itself is a gift from God? And so God gives you life, and God gives you abilities and blessings and potential. And a wise man recognizes that every gift and every relationship and every resource comes from God. In fact, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So anything good that you have comes from God. If you agree with that, say amen. And a wise man agrees with that. But the foolish man is a squanderer. The foolish man is careless with his influence. He's careless with his words. He's careless with his relationships. He's careless with the things he delves into. He's careless with what he reads. He's careless with what he says. The foolish man is not trying to steward those gifts that God has given to him. And tonight we're going to learn that a foolish man, instead of being rooted, really uproots his life. And instead of being fruitful, uproots his life to the point of fruitlessness. And so let's dive into the Bible study tonight. The first thing I want you to see tonight is the carelessness of the foolish man. The carelessness of the foolish man. The Bible says in verse 1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly to a fool. Honor is not seemly to a fool. The first thing I want you to notice in the notes is that a foolish man is careless with his influence. Verse 8 says, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. In other words, a foolish man is not someone that we honor, is not someone that uses influence wisely. And we see that in many different places in the Scripture. The Bible commands us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So being wise or foolish isn't really about how old you are or how long you've been a Christian. How many of you have seen people that have been Christians 25 years do something foolish? I have. Okay. How many of you have seen a young person do something very wise? All right. So wisdom and foolishness is not about how long you've been saved or how much education you have. It really is about your yieldedness to the Word of God at a given moment in your life. And the Bible teaches us that this wise man is careless with his foolish man is careless with his influence, and the wise man is serious about his influence. Now honoring a fool is number one in your notes there, like unseasonal weather. It says in verse 1, "As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool." It's not becoming. It's not fitting for a fool. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in the low place." And so, like unseasonal weather, giving honor to a fool does not have its place. And secondly, giving honor to a fool is like a useless weapon. Look at verse 8. It says, "As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool." Now, honoring the right person can be wise. It can be protection. Honoring someone who stands for courageous benefits within the community. Giving honor to whom honor is due. But a fool is bound to waste this honor and even harm people with it. A sling was a weapon used to hurl stones at the enemy. It was made of a cloth pad and two cords. And it was a weapon used by shepherds to drive away the predators. We've all thought of David and Goliath and so forth. It was meant to throw stones. The sling is meant to throw stones. But honor for a fool is like tying a stone to the cord. It is not useful. It could even hurt the person that's slinging it around. You don't tie the stone to the cord. You put it in the pocket of the sling. And so the Bible's basically saying that if you honor someone who's careless with their influence, you're going to basically hurt yourself. That's why even at our church over the years, whenever we've tried to honor someone, it's normally not someone exceedingly young or someone who's a novice. It's usually someone who has lived a life of faithfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because a foolish man is careless with his influence. You don't build monuments to a critic. And we live in a day where any idiot at home with a bowl of Cheerios and a laptop can give his opinions on the internet. But you know who we try to honor are people who have proven out the Word of God in their everyday lives. People who have been faithful, you see. And a foolish man is careless with his influence. And we need to recognize that influence and blessing comes from God. And we want to use our lives for His glory. Secondly, a foolish man is careless with his insults. Careless with his insults. So a foolish man doesn't know what to do with influence, and he doesn't know what to do with insults. Look at what it says in verse 2. "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." Now this was a challenging verse in the study, and I want to try to interpret it properly with you tonight. But notice verse 2 again. "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." Now, a fool will rail against their adversary for any slight. A fool, whether real or imagined, gets all up in arms and gets all ridiculously mad about particular things. And they will give curseless senses. I mean, they will literally and senseless curses toward their enemies. They will say things that they intend to be harmful toward their enemy. You might recall the story of Shimei, the Benjamite, who cursed and railed against David. But the Bible's teaching us in this verse that no one should worry about being cursed or railed against unless there's a divine basis for it. In this particular text, we see that there's a curse that's given that has no truth to it. There's nothing behind it. It has been said by someone that is a fool, it's causeless and it is harmless. Adam Clark in his commentary said, as the sparrow flies about the house and as the swallow migrates to strange countries, so an undeserved word may flutter about the neighborhood for a season, but in a short time it will disappear as the bird of passage. So just like a swallow will come and go, the empty curse will often return to the head of the one who uttered it. And a lot of times you'll hear a fool saying cursings towards someone or yelling about something, getting all mad about something, and all it does is make his life worse because he's nothing more than a bunch of hot air making proclamations that will never stick because it's not the right issue, he's not the right person, and it's all about his emotion. Some of you might recall in 2 Samuel chapter 16, David was running for a time from his own son. And a relative of Saul's, I mentioned a minute ago, Shimei, approached King David. And he began to throw stones at David and kick dust at David and curse at David. And I want you to turn there, if you'd like, for just a moment, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, if you'd like to. I'll read it for you otherwise. But one of David's men came to David and said, David, I'd like permission to kill Shimei. Just let me take this guy out of the way. You don't need to deal with him. And Shimei was just a foolish man who was cursing and angry and careless with his insults. But notice what it says there in verse 11. David said, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me some good for his cursing this day. Now, how many of you wish that you could have that response to somebody that's cursing at you? And David was a man after God's own heart, and Shimei's just cursing away at him. He's a foolish man, careless insults, and he's just cursing away. And someone says, David, let me just put that guy out of his misery. And David said, no. The Lord knows about this. The Lord will requite me. Maybe the Lord will bless me because I'm going through this situation. How many of you wish you could have that attitude when someone's upset with you, right? That was a great attitude. And you know, the fact of the matter is that when someone foolishly accosts you or says something about you, that you would be wise to give that to the Lord. It's been amazing to me over the years. There have been some times where certain things have been said, and I can think years ago about a guy in a periodical down in a southeastern state who wrote some unkind things in his little newspaper about me, and he tried to say our church was growing because we weren't fundamental enough or whatever his issue was. And of course, I never, you know, answered him. I've never written a mean letter to someone like that, and I just it sometimes can hurt, but you just keep going on. And you try not to answer a fool according to his folly. We'll come to that in a minute. And that's been one of my life verses, answer not a fool according to his folly. But you know what happened? That guy, with all of his careless insults that he was flinging at me, didn't realize it, but there were people watching those insults, and they were watching me handle the insults. And it was right when we started the college, and I don't know how many pastors called me and said, Brother Chapel, we don't know you well, but if that guy hates you, and if that guy's saying stuff bad about you, we like you. I don't know how to explain that, but most people after time can figure out who the hot-headed fool is and who the consistent, faithful Christian is. Okay? And there's a lot of people that want to go around giving their opinion and putting out their cursing, and what the Bible says is they're like a swallow that flies in and comes out. They're like a person who really, the curse is causeless. And the curse that they put on you isn't going to happen. And the vow that they make about you is of none effect, if you will. So the carelessness of a fool, he's careless with his influence, he's careless with his insults, and all he does is make problems worse for himself, right? So let's go to secondly, as we learn about the fool who uproots his life, let's look at the character of a fool. The character of this fool. And if you would, notice with me in verse number 3, the Bible says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, the first thing I want you to know about a fool is they are stubborn. They're stubborn. One of the common characteristics that I find with foolish people is they will not listen. They will not listen. They will not listen to counsel. They're too busy arguing and arguing and arguing, and they're stubborn. And I don't know about you. If I had to choose my spanking instrument, it would not be a rod. I would rather have the strap or the bridle. I'd rather have something that gives a little flexibility. You understand what I'm saying? One of the worst things my folks used to say to me when I was a kid is, go out to the woodpile and pick your paddle. Man, that was a process that took me a long time. I was not an engineer, but I wanted to know all about, you know, how these twigs bent and which one had the most flex and which one might break on the third swat. Those were the good ones, by the way. If they would break, you know, that would be just great. But I never picked one that was like a solid rod, you know, 2x4. Here, Dad, spank me with a 2x4, you know. Oh, no. I wanted to have like a little, you know, cardboard hanger, not a metal hanger. And if you have a parent that just whatever they had handy, is it what they used? And but if I ever had to pick what I was going to get swatted with, but the Bible says that this foolish man is so stubborn that the only thing that seems to get his attention is the harshest form of punishment. He's stubborn. He's as brutish as a horse or a donkey. Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now just think about that. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Okay? Now, I can't explain that exactly. My oldest daughter, Danielle, is a wise, godly woman to this day. But I remember when she was a young lady, all I would have to do with Danielle a lot of times was just look at her with a look. And her little lip would tremble and she'd say, I'm sorry, Dad, or I won't do it. And she just was inclined to want to do the right thing. It just a quick word of admonishment, you know. And I think girls are a little quicker at that usually. You know, boys need several words and a few swats maybe. But at least our girls were a little bit wiser that way. And this is the picture the Bible gives us. Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, how many of you would agree with me that when it comes to this matter of learning and being wise, you'd say, you know, Pastor, I'd rather be a quick study. I'd rather God's still small voice speak to me than I have to be like the fool who has to get the rod every time God wants my attention. How many of you want to be able to hear the still small voice of God? You see. And so we see the carelessness of a fool, but now the character of a fool, he's a very stubborn, stubborn man. 1 Corinthians 4:21, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? So open up your notes there and look secondly then at this fool. His character is stubborn, and secondly, his character is provocative. I was in a shopping area yesterday, and I saw a guy with a Raiders t-shirt on. Now, how many of you agree with me that Raiders fans are generally fools? Okay, just kidding. Some of you might be a Raiders fan. But I don't know what it is about Raiders fans, but they're always looking for a fight. And this guy, he had a Raiders shirt on, and then he had an expletive on his shirt about another team. Folks, I don't know how to tell you, and it was about the Chargers. The last thing you want to do is walk around with something like that, and you're around people who like the Chargers. I'm telling you, people that are foolish are very provocative in their way. They're always kind of wanting to make something of nothing, okay? And you run across people like that. If they can't fight with you to your face, they want to fight with your kids or about your kids, or they want to fight about some other thing, or they want to fight on the internet. And most of it's just flat foolishness. It doesn't really have a lot of productiveness to it. Look at verse 4 there, Proverbs 26:4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Now, we're going to come to that next verse because I know they look like a contradiction, and I'll tell you the key to that in just a moment. But I just want to say there are, and listen to me very carefully, there are people who are scornful people who are expert at getting fools into their web. That's what they love to do. They love to get people involved in foolish conversations, and they troll for you. They troll for you. You ever gone fishing where you troll for a fish and you're just kind of trolling along? I used to go with my granddad up in Colorado, and what he liked to do was he liked to get that little bass boat, and he'd like to troll for bass or troll for trout, and you're just kind of trolling along hoping that some dumb fish sees that bait, and they see those lures spinning around in there, and comes on that, and you jerk them in there, and when that happens, you just think, man, yeah, I snagged one, and that's a great thing. But you know that there are people that like to troll for unwitting Christians, ungrounded Christians? Do you know that the Lord calls us sheep for a reason? Because I've seen Baptists get all up in arms about something. Before you know it, it's the smallest thing, but they're just all up in arms about it, somewhat like a fool. And they're saying things that they heard somebody say that they thought was so important. It has no substance, you know, and it's really not a matter. And yet they're just all involved in some emotional situation in a very foolish way. Now, when you meet somebody like that and they're trying to get you all into their issue, the Bible says, answer not a fool according to their folly. Okay? Over the years, I've had, you know, a few letters here and there, a few comments here and there. I can tell you this as a testimony. I've never one time written somebody a letter in anger or said, oh yeah, back to you, buddy, because you never win with a fool. You never do. You can't help them. You can't admonish them. And all you're going to do is come down to their level. And it's just not wise to get into that type of a scenario. So be careful of those that want to troll you into a foolish response. I saw a comic strip the other day of a guy who was kind of hunched over his keyboard and he's looking at his computer. And his wife said, honey, are you going to come to bed? He said, I can't. This is important. He said, I just found somebody on the internet who admits that they're wrong. Most people on the internet don't even put their real name. And even with that, they won't admit if they're really wrong about something. They find it easier to say something there rather than biblically, Matthew 18, coming and talking to you personally. By the way, don't be the kind of a Christian that gets into somebody else's business. Someone talks to you about someone else, you tell them to go see the person they're talking about. Don't get involved in their gossip. Don't answer a fool according to their folly. Don't make their folly your folly. You've got enough folly. Right? So the Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Look, if you would, very quickly at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's see how Jesus handled the provocative fools in his life. 1 Peter 2:21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. How many of you believe that Jesus is our ultimate example in everything we do? Right? So He left us this example that we should follow in His steps. And that's why we're here tonight. Verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Now, there's no one in here who's done no sin, but He's our perfect example. Now, look at the next verse, verse 23, and read it with me if you would. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. So when they were saying, you're a liar, when they were accusing Jesus, when they were reviling Jesus, when they were harming Jesus, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. And the fact of the matter is that we need to be very careful about the provocative ones that will bring us into their web. And Jesus is the ultimate example of wisdom, because when He was reviled, He reviled not again. So we see the foolish man is a stubborn man. He's a provocative man. And I want you to see, thirdly, he's a conceited man. Look at verse 5 back in our text, Proverbs 26, 5. Now this is amazing. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now let's just take a minute. Look at verse 5. Verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Let's say that together. Answer. Okay. Interesting, because the next verse 5, what does it say? Answer. Okay. So someone says, well, that's a contradiction. Not at all. The key to verses 4 and 5 is having the wisdom of God to know when not to answer and to know when to answer. In my lifetime, it's been mostly not to answer. It's just better not to get down at that level. And there are people that you literally would empower them or give them momentum by giving them an answer. And there's no sense throwing fuel to a foolish man's fire. But there are times when you might be able to help somebody with an answer. And that's what verse 5 is saying. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit, you see. Isaiah 5 and verse 21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, you see. Every man can justify his own actions and be filled with conceit. And so sometimes you might be able, with a word of wisdom, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You might be able to help someone to avoid that pattern of conceit. And you might be able to help them avoid that destruction that would come along their way. Paul told Titus in Titus 1:13, it's in your notes there, verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. And did you know that on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean today, that there are statues made to the 3rd and 4th century Christians? There are statues that have been made to those faithful Christians who were trained by Titus. And Titus was able to raise up godly Christians whose generations lasted several generations after his lifetime because he was able to reprove them sharply. He was able to let them know the error of their way according to the Scripture. And in his case, he answered a fool according to their folly. During the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards presided over a prayer meeting with 800 men present. Going into the meeting one night, a woman came to Jonathan Edwards and she gave to him a note, and she said, please have the men pray for my husband. My husband is unloving and prideful and difficult to live with. Edwards read the anonymous note to the men, and thinking that the man might be in the group, he said, I wonder if this would describe a man in this group, and I wonder if one of you aren't the man that this woman is praying for. Maybe one of your wives wanted us to pray just for you in your unloving, prideful, and difficult spirit. And when Edwards said that, 300 men raised their hands. 300 men realized that they had been wrong against their wives. And simply said is that sometimes you can answer a fool and you can help him. But the key is wisdom. Is this someone that you can help? Is this someone that will hear it? Is this someone that will have a repentant spirit? Or is this someone that just wants to have an argument, you see? And so we see the carelessness of a fool, first of all. God says, I'm going to give you influence. I'm going to give you blessing. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to use that for me? Are you going to be like someone trying to send a stone on a piece of string without the sling? Because if that's how you are, you're going to waste your life. And so the carelessness of a fool is clear. And then we see the character of a fool, stubborn, provocative, conceited. And God says, this man is a foolish man. But let's notice finally tonight the contempt of a fool. Notice the contempt of the fool, verse number 6. It says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Now, there is first of all the contempt of trust. Let's say that together. The contempt of a fool is not a trustworthy person. And again, Proverbs 1 tells us there's four kinds of people: wise, foolish, scornful, and simple. All right? And God says, you cannot trust the foolish man to send your message. You cannot trust the foolish man to get the job done. There will be a contempt of trust on his part. A fool will not handle responsibility well, no matter the importance. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 25:19, and this is in your notes tonight, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. All right, let's say that together. Ready, begin. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a... How many of you ever had a broken tooth? Let's just see. Anybody ever break a tooth? All right. Any of you ever had a foot out of joint? I have a shoe that doesn't fit real well tonight, but I've never had a foot out of joint. I can only imagine that it would be very, very painful. And God says, when you put confidence in a foolish man, he is going to be contemptible in the realm of trust. He's not trustworthy. And I just want to say tonight, every one of us ought to be trustworthy for our Lord. God ought to be able to put next to us on an airplane or at work or wherever someone that he wants to hear the gospel, and we ought to be trustworthy of that. We ought to be trustworthy of the opportunities that he gives to us. But the Bible teaches very clearly that this foolish man is a man that is not trustworthy. You try to send a message, but the message is cut off. And in fact, it says there in verse number 6, he drinketh damage. He makes the problem worse. He says the entirely wrong thing. All right, a contempt of trust. Notice, secondly, there's a contempt of wisdom. The contempt of wisdom. Now look at verse 7. The Bible says, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouths of fools. All right? So a foolish man has trouble taking the literal interpretation of the Bible, the wisdom of the Word of God, and taking that for his benefit and sharing it with others for their benefit. And even as a crippled man has, in this case, an unequal way of walking, and in his lame situation, in that case of being crippled, is going to shuffle sometimes along differently or from side to side. The Bible uses this as an illustration to simply say that a parable in the mouth of a fool will never get to its desired haven. It's not going to be a wisdom that he can teach. He doesn't know how to handle the wisdom. Secondly, he can't apply the wisdom. Look at verse number 9. It says, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so a parable in the mouth of fools. All right? You would think that a man that is drunk, who puts a thorn up into his hand, who wakes up the next morning, might say, you know, this thing of getting drunk isn't worth it. This is terrible. I'm never going to touch alcohol again. By the way, the best way to never get drunk is not to take the first drink. And you would think that someone that's an alcoholic who wakes up the next morning and they don't have, you know, just a thorn. I mean, they've got a huge thorn all the way through their hand. And you'd think they'd wake up and go, man, that hurts. I don't ever want that to happen again. I'm never going to the bar again. I'm never going to drink again. But normally the guy with the thorn in the hand, if he's an alcoholic, with that same hand about 5 o'clock that night, what's he doing? He's trying to find more alcohol. He's trying to take another drink. He wants more. Now, the Bible says here in verse number 9, as a thorn goeth up in the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. In other words, you give them the parable, you give them the message, but it doesn't seem to help. They lack the ability to apply it to their own life. All they wanted was the fun of the argument. All they wanted was the sensationalism of the moment. And there are people who come to church who are very foolish, and they don't come because they want to help or be helped. They come because they want to make a fool of themselves, and they want to exploit some situation, not because they want the truth to change their life. Matthew 23 and verse 1 says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. You see, the Pharisees, Jesus was likening to foolish men because they say certain things, but they don't do those things. Now, I want you to be reminded of James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing that's happened to you is a gift from God. Now the question is, are you going to be wise with that? Are you going to be wise with your wife and children? Are you going to be wise with your job? Are you going to be wise with that education? Are you going to be wise with that soul-winning opportunity? Because to whom much is given, much is required. But the foolish man oftentimes is a man that is careless. He's a man whose character is low, and he's a man who's contemptible in his sight. And the tragedy is, all the while thinks that he's all that, he doesn't need the counsel, but the Bible is very clear, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will do what? He'll lift you up. God is looking for men who will humble themselves, and there's nothing worse than a foolish man who thinks he's all that, he has more wisdom, he's unteachable, but the fact of the matter is, the wiser we become, the more we just say, Lord, I have more to learn, show me, teach me, and guide me. And so tonight, we need to understand that the foolish man uproots his own life and makes things worse. And we need to say tonight, Lord, give me your wisdom. Help me not to get caught by those trying to troll me into trouble, but help me to walk in wisdom towards those that are without, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the wonderful time that we've had just opening your word and just learning tonight about the contrast between the foolish and the wise. And Lord, we just pray tonight that we would be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, the truth of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to be like that foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And Lord, we pray tonight that in our lives we would not be drawn into foolish things, but that we would apply our hearts toward wisdom, and that we would be men and women who redeem the time.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.